I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, welcome back to Supercoach Edge. Now, there are many words that can sum up the round that was round five, and all of them are likely expletives. Mm. Let's just say, thank the Lord, it was a best 18 round, but probably would have preferred a best four, probably at minimum. With primos and rookies alike throwing up low scores or being touched with the sub curse, of course. Just incredible, wasn't it, Liam?
Yeah, I'm just having a look at my team again.
Don't do it to yourself.
Best four probably would have been good because I'm fairly certain.
Mm. I was going to say best eight.
But best 18 didn't knock out many of my shit scores.
Yeah.
Still too many. Especially rookies, unfortunately. Just getting absolutely done over by the sub.
Yeah, that wasn't a good viewing across the entire round, and it kicked off nicely, didn't it?
Just being shit. Yeah.
Yeah, no one was immune, really. It was it was just one of those rounds.
Yep, exactly. And of course, as I mentioned, we did have Carroll, Clark, Lazaro all starting subs. Then we saw Sanders and McKercher subbed out as well. McKercher obviously subbed out injured. On top of that, it was a sore sight for the cash generation side of things for us as well.
Mm. And McKercher, yeah, he gets to stay at execution. I mean, Sanders is as well, but differing reasons, as you mentioned, McKercher injured. But Sanders, probably even more concerning, he was technically encumbered by the man that we know as Bevo, who's now, he is the cusp. He is the height of he who shall not be named, I reckon now.
He's another level. I don't even know who Brad Scott, not Brad Scott, Chris Scott was he who should not be named. I feel like
he's taken the mantle.
Just number one. He's FBI's most wanted number one.
I was gonna say, well, can someone do something? Can someone slip something in his drink? I'm not suggesting like in grassy knoll type stuff. You know, from the library, all that sort of stuff, but I'm just talking about like maybe slip something in his drink to give him the shits because he's giving us the shits, Liam. Really, he's giving us the shits. But off the back of obviously all those rookies you mentioned, to really add salt to the wound, our usual reliable primos put up dirty performances such as Bond. Look at this list. Bond, 73. Track, 59. English, 58. Green, 72. Clary, 65, which is kind of like he's a pink sweaty pig and he's very, very big and very, very pink at the moment. And then, of course, Dawson. He continued to spot it up with 64, so no surprise there. But the silver lining is that at least we have some fallen primos to aim for during upgrade season, provided, of course, that you don't already own them, unfortunately.
That is the biggest issue. I feel like I have all those names on your list. but anyway, before we do get stuck into things, of course, we're going to run through our socials as we always do. So if you're not following us, make sure you do find us via one of these channels or all of them, please. On YouTube, just simply search Supercoach Edge and don't forget to subscribe so that you are notified of when our content does drop from week to week. On Twitter, you'll find us at Supercoach underscore Edge, Damon at DamoJ88, myself at Liam Evans underscore 95. And on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, search Supercoach Edge and find us there.
Well, Liam, I can tell you're flat. I'm flat as well. But hopefully, as we kick off this episode, that because obviously you're going to be talking numbers and stuff now, hopefully we can hear that golden number appear once more and lift our spirits. Of course, the old ding, ding, dinner for two. So let's wait and see if it can appear and lift our spirits. But let's jump into how we both fared on the weekend. Obviously, it was shitful. I ended up scoring, I have no idea how. I cracked the 2K mark with 2007. People usually say, it was a great year. I have no idea what happened that year. It was in uni, so might have been an all right year. Actually, I think I was traveling that year, maybe. I think that might have been the year that I went on a Kentucky tour, so it was a good year. But anyway.
I was
in grade 6. It shows how old I am, really. Gee whiz. Crikey. You make me feel like an old man. Where's my Zimmer frame?
What was I doing in grade 6?
Yeah.
I was in 6W.
6W, not 6'9"?
No, surprisingly not. Yeah, that's where I was while you were off gallivanting.
Gallivanting around Europe and drinking numerous steins in Germany. And it was good. It was good. But anyway, we digress. So anyway, for the ranking wise, ended up going up 354 spots to now sit 2,203rd overall.
Nice.
Was, of course, a tough week for many, but happy enough that I managed to sneak over that 2K score and at least reach par. Now, Miss Ogoni, he was my C, the VC, of course, but had to lock in that score as C. And he was a big reason that why my week ended quite reasonably, proving to us, Liam, that perhaps his permanent name is indeed Maxi, with Maxi-like scores on tap. He's had more Maxi than Maximilian, that's for sure. So hopefully that continues. And we spoke about Steele's price point last week being a steal, pun intended, of course, for his equivalent output. And he more than proved it with a massive score of 143 and rising nearly 35K. Boy, he is the early contender for trade-in of the season thus far for me and probably for you, Liam, I imagine, because you picked him up the week prior to when I did.
Yes.
Obviously last week for me.
The early nice move. That I've had.
Yeah, and he's gone back to back 140 odd scores, I think. But no, don't. I reckon you've had a couple of good moves, Liam. And there's more to come. You keep your powder dry. But we hope that you, the good folk of the Supercoach community, were listening and watching and did likewise. And of course, can't go without mentioning the Hills Hoist, aka Closey, also smashed it on debut for my team, as he did for many that traded him in early. Liam, how did you fare? It was a shitful week. We will say that. Give a context. How goes it?
It was a shit week, but I scored 18.25, which was also a good year, I have to say.
Great year.
Yeah, great year.
It was a Wild West, wasn't it? Wasn't that Back to the Future
18,
3?
18.25. The city of Brisbane was founded that year, so great year for them. Not that I was around. I'm trying to see what else. I'm just Googling it. London also became the largest city in the world that year, taking lead from Beijing.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I assume that they took back a little while later.
And there was a guy who was the Mad Dog Tannen. Griff Tannen used to waltz around the Wild West and say,
"Nobody calls me Mad Dog, especially not some dooted up, egg-sucking gutter trash."
Good old Back to the Future 3 there. As you can tell, one of my favorite franchises.
That's
where it. I think that was in the 1800s. 1885. There you go. 1885.
60 years later.
Yep, 60 years later. So before Doc Brown traveled back to the Wild West and Marty McFly had to go back and try and save him. Even though he didn't want to be saved, funnily enough, because he found love in the Wild West.
Anyway. Better than my week. I have not found love in my Supercoach coach team. 77,725.
You feel a bit vote. Yellow.
What's wrong, dude? You yellow?
Was my ranking this week where I found myself up 6.6K spots. So not too bad. Happy to be climbing at least. I did trade out Will Powell because he annoyed me out to Nasaya Wanganeen Malira. I think that was a positive trade in the end. Grundy also made way for Nick Martin, who came back into my side. And Blake House, I'm going to assume his name is Blake, came in for the Hills Hoist himself in Closey. That does leave me with 243.7K in the bank and some big plans in the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be getting bulk cash in so I can make some bulk upgrades in the next few weeks. But anyway, let's jump straight into our head-to-head, Damon.
Yeah, so head-to-head, I ended up notching up another win. It is now 5-0 with a differential 891. Is what it is. But there's only one more bye week, Liam. Only one more early bye week anyway. Of course, there's buys to come later in the season. But best 18, and I think a lot of people will probably be missing out, except for you, Liam. This is where you, come back and get the edge, the super coach edge, because you haven't got Gorn, who is on his bye.
Yeah, but I've got Tim English, who, you know, isn't doing too well.
Yeah. I'll have him soon enough.
Somehow, and we can both wallow. Tim English is 58, somehow didn't drop out of my best 18.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Well, Liam, speaking of head-to-heads as well, probably a good time to mention, because he will be tuning in, of course, our collective father-in-law, Pistol Pete, Peter, with his team Tankers. We were facing off in our Supercoach Edge Cash League number one.
Oh, very nice.
And I ended up getting the chocolates 2007 to 1922. The rivalry continues, Liam. And no doubt you'll be matching up against him very, very soon. So we'll see. And I know that he's got the wood over you in recent times. I think maybe the last one. The last one I think you won, didn't you?
I think the last one I won. But yeah. I can't remember.
We'll see how we go.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long, long time. But anyway, Liam, well, actually, before we jump into the next segment, just quickly as well, a bit of housekeeping. Team Talk episode, of course, is out. It drops every Monday. So I had some people on Twitter. It was actually someone, a newbie to our shores, we'll say. He was asking, are there any super coach content creators out there putting out content on Mondays?
That.
Yeah, so, of course, the Team Talk episodes are out on Monday. Bit of a prelude to, of course, these weekly episodes that drop every week. So check it out if you haven't already. I go into my team in a bit more detail, strategy, trades, everything else in between. So check it out. But, Liam, now is the time. Let's wait no further, no longer. It is time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes, in the good, the bad, and the ugly, we run through a few players.
The good, the bad,
and are ugly.
Ugly. Although we probably should change it because it's not just ugly, it's probably fugly, I reckon, this week.
Yeah.
Next level. But we'll get into why that is in a moment. But let's kick it off with the good, with, of course, Harry Sheezel. She's nuts. Went absolutely nuts. With a score of 159 from 38 disposals, 15 marks, 3 tackles, and a goal. Boy, oh boy, it made for a welcome score after some dismal ones early in the round. Honourable mentions, though, do go to Closey, 124, and Harley Reid, who's just taken his game to another level. He was always going to with a 108, so good to see there.
Yes, exactly. In the bad, we're going to go with, it could be anyone, but we're going to put it on Christian Petrarca, I think. Despite the absolute silver service, I want to say, that Gorn was providing, he had like 23 hitouts in the first quarter, I think. Ended up with 51 for the game. The D's midfield just absolutely didn't capitalize on it, and it's evident with track score of just 59. Not good for owners, but I guess a bit of a welcome sight for those who would be keen to pick him up on the cheap in a few weeks.
That's right. Well, there's always silver linings, unless, of course, you own them. So apologies to those people that do. But rounding us out with the ugly, but we are going to make an exception here and make it the fugly, because boy, oh boy, there was a lot going on here on Friday night. Firstly, we'll kick it off with Tim English, who scored just 58. Then we had Bont, the ever-reliable Bont, who scored a 73, usually kissed on the dick, but wasn't to be in this case, surprisingly enough. And to top it off, Bevo decided to sub off Riley Sanders, all but killing his cash gen with a score of 46. If there was ever a coach to put him in the get him out section of this podcast, it's Bevo. So maybe we just have a bit of a section reserved for moments like this, Liam. Maybe we have a segment going forward listeners, viewers, let us know how we could work it in. But yeah,
Caro Zaro.
Oh, yes. It could be.
Except it wouldn't be Caro Zaro, obviously.
Liam's lashes. Yeah. He'd be giving out like infinite lashes.
Just make me get absolutely.
Get your whip
off.
Out.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Just make me rage and then I'll let loose.
But I think Bevo is probably deserving of that this week. Well, Liam, it is what it is, isn't it? But hopefully the Bevo treatment stops here. It's got to stop. But we're counting down the weeks, 19 rounds to go before the end of the season, before his inevitable sacking, hopefully. Could be earlier. We'll have to wait and see. But anyway, Liam, with round 6 on the horizon, let's jump into trade talk with The Price is Right.
Show me the money.
The price is wrong, bitch.
For those tuning in for the first time, The Price is Right is the segment where we discuss potential trades and trade targets from week to week, and even whether a specific player should be traded at all. So we are going to kick off with going gone. And these are guys that you should be looking to trade out this week. First up, we have Colby McKercher, 282.9K, with a break even of 101. Young Gun was subbed out for a score of, yes, just 6. But in pleasing news for him, it does seem that he has been cleared of damage to those ribs and could return as soon as this round. I don't think he spent the night in hospital either, so that was good. Good to see and good to hear for him. However, he has now dropped 16.6K this week with a massive break-even of 101, so it's reason enough to move him on to the likes of Graham for a handy profit. I have seen a few people saying, oh, but he's going to be back. He's a gun. We should hold him. I just think, realistically, you're probably going to get maybe an extra 20K in the next, like, he's 101. Obviously, it's going to be 3 weeks before that score of 6 drops out. Like, Supercoach Gold has him projected to get up to, like, 331K in round 19. Like, probably not worth holding him. I'd probably move him on myself.
Yeah.
Because the role I think he's moved into in the midfield isn't looking as strong for his scoring either. So I will be moving him on personally.
Yep, I totally agree as well. And you made that point that I was about to make as well, just with his role. It was a little bit questionable anyway, as it was with the week prior. We just didn't know how things were going to turn out. And yeah, it just obviously doesn't help now that his cash gen has stalled and hit a brick wall. And he was in the midfield as well, the early stages of that game. So didn't really bode well for him. Looked as though he had that continuation of that role. So yeah. Cutting ties, unfortunately, but bid him farewell. And thanks anyway for the memories. Would have loved to have, I guess, cashed him out at a bit of a higher price, but is what it is. Moving on to the next, and we have Jai Clark priced at 183K with a break-even of 74. Played as a sub for the Cats this weekend and played just the 23% time on ground for a score of 2. Yes, 2. This has killed his cash gen, so it could be one to move on with the likes of Dangerfield to return. You'd expect his spot in the best 22/23, of course, including the sub, is questionable from here. At best, he will be a slow burn and will need to, I guess, rely on him getting a sizable score to offset that low score to kickstart his cash generation. I think we spoke pre-record, Lehman, and we're kind of in the camp of maybe there's not enough really worth of him, you know, being cashed out at this stage. If you cash him out to someone like a Graham, you're only really going to be netting a 65K, 66K profit, I guess, which really isn't much. And considering we're having to cut Colby McKercher a little bit earlier than what we wanted, he hadn't really eclipsed the 100K profit margin as yet. I don't really want to be doing it personally with two of the guys. So I'm just hopeful that Jai Clark's going to get more of a go. He had a couple of games in the 60s thereabouts. And I think once this 2 gets removed from his 3-round price cycle, hopefully he can make us a little bit of cash and just save that trade up our sleeves for cashing out a rookie that's at a higher price point to really, I guess, yeah, make use of the money that you get returned.
Yeah, and I think I agree with that. I think as well, he potentially, if he does get dropped, he potentially offers a loop option as well. Like that 183K saves you a trade down to a, you know, non-playing player. Just use him for the rest of the season. Now let's move on to the chopping block players. And these are guys who, you know, you could hold, you could trade. There's sort of reason to look either way. First up, we have Blake Howes, 226.6K, break even of 21. Now, we did speak about him last week, as he was featured in this segment. He did end up scoring 62, though, which was just on his break even, making him an extra 3.3K for people that did hold with him. So I think it was actually one of those times where if you traded him, you weren't upset. And if you kept him, you were also not upset. Mm. Like, it was kind of a win-win either way, because he didn't lose cash, but he also didn't really make that much cash, but scored decently enough. He has had his buy. Sorry, he has got his buy this week, this round. So it could be the ideal time to move him on if you do still have him, but has reset his cash generation with a break even of 21. So if you are really struggling for cash gen and wanted to hold him in hope that he ekes out a bit more coin for you, you could do just that.
Yep. No, spot on. I was one of those people that punted him last week.
Mm-hmm.
And made it, you know, good use of the coin. Obviously helped me get in Jackie Steele, and with Closey being a nice little target downgrade, and likewise Graham as well. I think it kind of makes a bit of sense if you need to find a bit of coin to put on someone's head to bring in a premium.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Let's move on to the next guy, and it is Jack Carroll. He's priced at 242.3K. Now has a break-even of 46. And that really comes off the back of him being named as the sub for Carlton following the return of the great man, Sammy Walsh, my boy. And he was activated not really early on, but relatively early on, I guess, for the injured Saad, who went off with a hammy. Now, Carroll's break-even has inflated to that 46, as I mentioned, just above his average of 59.2. Just below his average, should say, of his average of 59.2, meaning he is at risk of losing cash next week if he plays more so as the sub yet again, which could happen given, you know, he was obviously pushed into that sub role off the back of Walsh returning. With the two injuries to Saad and McGovern, you know, there's obviously spots open there and reason enough for him to stay in the team. But, you know, they're obviously both defenders. So you could still say that Carlton are kind of in a nice position to be in anyway, with Walsh being back and Carroll's kind of surplus to requirements at the moment anyway for a starting gig. So he's probably done his job now as a cash cow. He's generated 118.4K in total. So a great candidate to cash out if you need some extra coin.
Yep, agreed entirely. Move on to the next guy, and it is Riley Sanders, 310.6K, break even of 49, and he got absolutely bevoed on Friday night, subbed out in the third quarter for a score of just 46. It's risen his break even right up to 49, leaving us to question whether he's a trade option this week with the risk of future subbings in future weeks. He has made over 125K, so he has done his job. It's just frustrating as his scoring potential is there when he does get full game minutes or, you know, plays a full game as opposed to being subbed, having scored 99, 77, and 82. I think he's a 50-50 trade either way. Depends on what other players you have on your side. I'm holding him this week. I think with Libba missing, surely he doesn't get subbed out or doesn't start as the sub.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not Bevo.
Yeah, it is Bevo. And no, we don't know what goes on his mind.
No one can think like him.
Yeah, totally agree. And I was kind of, when I initially did my team talk video, you'll see that I actually used Sanders to trade down, but having thought about it a bit more and digested everything, I think, yeah, and realized that Lib is going to be out for a week, that, yeah, it obviously makes sense that Sanders will get more of a go, despite the fact, I don't know if you saw old man Mick Malthouse, he made a comment about how Sanders behaved on the bench, and he said he would have, if I was Beveridge, I would have kicked him up the backside so hard that his toenails would have curled, like a word to that effect. I'm like, yeah. You're such an old man, like, get out of here, like, really. The boy's showing some frustration and he's been subbed for the second time in his first five games. Like, of course he's going to be frustrated. And he's playing under Bevo. So that just speaks for itself. But yeah, stupid move. But anyway, I'm keeping hold of Sanders off the back of that.
I'm going to be an old man here and kind of agree with Malthouse. Yeah. I don't know. Just annoys me. I don't know. I think there's a degree of like, fair enough, be frustrated, of course. Like, you know, any competitor would be.
Yeah, passionate.
But
yeah.
I feel like you've got to be careful.
Yeah.
But that being said, I also agree. I don't think he was playing poorly in that game. I think of the mids, probably wasn't going well enough.
Mm.
But I think that there was players, particularly in their back line, that made more sense to trade out. To sub out.
Considering that Dale was the sub already, like this is part of the thinking as well, the perplexed thinking of Bevo, because how many halfbackers did they want to have in that team? And they're playing even Bramble as well, who's kind of, I think, surplus to the requirements.
You had like Bramble. Trade,
sub one of those off and put Dale, because it was literally getting rid of a midfielder and playing Dale, another halfbacker. Like, what does that achieve? I don't know.
Just, and their issue, I think part of their issue in that game was the fact that they couldn't, they weren't kicking well. Like, they weren't kicking into the forward, they weren't delivering the ball into the forward line well. And so they needed Dale, which made sense. But they probably should have started Dale because he is a good kid. Yeah. I just don't understand. So, also, just a bit of a shout out. I was at the pub before the game.
Oh, yes, of course. You mentioned this.
We always had a guest spot for this guy because he was equally as passionate about Bevo as we are. Or dispassionate, I guess, about Bevo. Literally had a 10-minute rant with his mates. They were all Bulldog supporters before the game. I was messaging you as this happened because I almost went up and high-fived this man because we were vibing.
Let's give this man a guest spot. Yeah. And you know, when your own supporters are feeling that way, like obviously we're opposition fans and we're kind of seen probably more objectively, whereas they're probably subjective because they've got more skin in the game being supporters. And to hear from them speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Have you got the quotes there?
Yeah. So, quote, why is he ruining all Australian players?
True.
He's got to go.
That's it.
You drop McRae, you drop Caleb Daniel, now Dale's the sub. My favorite part was like he then finished his rant, got up and, you know, got a beer, came back and just sat there staring into thin air, like just absolutely perplexed.
No doubt fantasizing about Bevo getting sacked, which is no surprise at all if that was the case, but drowning your sorrows as well off the back of that. Drink responsibly, of course.
I couldn't believe it.
Mm.
When I saw it, that Dale was the sub, I was like, why? This makes...
Yeah.
Like, it's just making... And even when Daniel was dropped, like, anyway.
It's just absolute stupidity. Absolute stupidity. But yeah, just with Sanders back on on him, I've done a bit of a 180 and I'm now keeping him because you still got that relatively lowish break-even, 49. And the other guy that I was thinking of trading out in his place, which is kind of a bit confirmed now for me, and it's someone we don't have on the run sheet, but just mention him ever so briefly. It is Aaron Cadman. So he's 271.4K, gone up 143.8K in total. So obviously hit the mark there in terms of the profitability side of things. Went up 30.9K on the weekend with a score of 64. And his break-even now is 40. So could still eclipse that beneath his average of 66.2. But I think for me, I just would like to back in Sandys. He's got more higher scores in his repertoire that I think there's a greater likelihood of Sanders, if he is given a full game, of course, with an asterisk there, I think he will make a bit more cash compared to Cadman.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Awesome. Well, let's get into the next category. It is get them in. First up, we have Charlie Comben, and he's priced at 227.1K with a break-even of negative 75. So didn't really quite reach the heights of game one with a score of just 75, though the potential is there for him to make cash provided his scoring doesn't slip further. According to Supercoach Plus, with a score of 75, he should go up just under 70K this weekend alone and make 100K by round eight. However, the risk here is that his score of 129 in his first game will drop out of his price cycle after his third game, slowing his cash generation unless he can hit another ceiling score. The other concern is whether he's moved back to the forward line where he's played traditionally. I think Dawson was the young guy who came out of the side late due to, I think it was a rolled ankle or something.
Yeah.
So there is potential that he comes back into the side. If they keep Biggie Nguyen in defense there, they're kind of stacked, I think, there. So do they push Cumberland forward?
Stacked
maybe.
Is not how I would describe them.
surplus to requirements. You're definitely not stacked in strength-wise. But, the other thing to consider is you'll likely have to trade up to get Comben into your team, given that he does have that higher price point. If you're moving on a lower priced, I guess, cash cow, like a Sexton, for example, meaning you aren't really benefiting profit-wise with that single trade, making it a bit of a kind of morphs it into a bit of a hairy sideways trade in this sense, because I think Sexton's around about 180 odd.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to fork out what, nearly close to 50K difference to get Comben into your team, which I don't think Comben is a must have. But, you know, if you're trading down a...
You could do a Jordan maybe to from 350 to him.
Yep.
Still making cash.
Someone like that would make a bit more sense, because I'm not a massive fan of just doing the sideways, because it's virtually just burning a trade for in order to get this guy into your team. And like, as we said there, if he does put up a bit of a stinker score next up, that's going to offset that big score he had in his first game. And then once that comes out of his three-game rolling average, his price generation hits an absolute wall. So a bit of a worry there. And we've written here as well that we've both looked at the likes of Biggie Nguyen, which just by comparison would net you 103.2K difference, you know, in the equivalent down trade. So, you know, and that's just going by, you know, I just, the price difference between both those guys. If you go a Sexton down to Biggie Nguyen, that's going to net you, what, 70K thereabouts, roughly. But that's the type of money that can help you bring in a primo. And if Nguyen can lay down a 70 score across his next couple of games, he could make just as much as Comben. You know, obviously lower price point, don't have to average as much as what Comben needs to at 103K more. So for me, I think it's a bit clear cut for me, the way that I like to play it. You always want to be getting into that, they call it the cadence, the trading cadence, like the flow of trading down, getting that money to then put on the head of another player to upgrade to a primo, so on and so forth. Whereas I think if you're doing a sideways trade, that just ruins the entire flow of upgrade, downgrade, for me anyway. You kind of may fall back in the pack.
Agreed. And it's not like Comben. I know he smashed out one big score, but it's, what did he score on the weekend? 75.
Yep.
It's not massive. Like if he was scoring hundreds, I think it's a bit different. He looks more like potentially, you know, potentially a keeper. But yeah, like when I say a keeper, I mean sort of a forward keeper. So that means scoring anything above 60 at this stage. But anyway. No, I agree. I think I'm probably looking to bypass him at this stage. If he had backed up his one, what did he score? One, whatever it was, 125.
29, yeah.
Yeah, with another 100 or 90 plus score, I'd probably be thinking of it differently.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyway, let's move on to the next guy, and it is Isaac Heaney, 638.4K, break even of 50. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but you should consider getting him in even for a price of 638K. What the hell? But with a break even of just 50, he could be upwards of 700K in the next couple of rounds. Insane. Keep in mind, though, that if you do need to find value in this game. So if you're struggling with cash gen, you may need to, you know, be better off looking at finding other value options across the field, you know, potentially a Miller. Steel's probably not really value at this stage anymore, 624K. Shea Bolton, Sammy Walsh coming up as well. Those are the guys that I'd be considering more so. Because, yeah, I don't know. Heaney's going to have a down game eventually, inevitably, surely.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Will he ever?
Like, I feel like we said this about Tim English last year as well, and it just never happened.
Yeah, that's true.
But he has had an unbelievable season so far, averaging 144.2 with a low score of just 128, which is absolutely mind-blowing. So if you don't have him, I don't know. See, I feel like you should be trying to get him in, and I think he's one of the most traded-in players this – yeah, he's like the fifth most traded-in or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just made that up, actually.
But it's so true, though, because, I mean, you can opt to wait, but – and that's kind of the strategy that I took with Strong and Butters, because both of those came out of the blocks like, you know, insanely. Mm-hmm. And everyone was scrambling to try and get them into the team. But I was like, just hold back. They're bound to have a down game, which both of those guys did. And they've kind of gone back to their starting price now. So it can happen.
Yeah. So he's currently the sixth most traded in player and the most expensive traded in player so far of all those players. Wow. 630, as in this round, he's the one that's most expensive of the top 10. People trading in Elliot Yeo. Anyway,
yeah, okay.
Not going to talk about that. So yeah, yep. I don't know. It's a 50-50 one for me as well with getting him in. If you don't have him, it just feels like It's, I don't know. It's one of those times where it's like you probably need to get them in now, or you have to wait. And it's like those are obviously the only two options. There's no other option. But
The one thing to, I guess, think of and factor in, if you wanted to go contrarian and wait for him, at minimum, I think Luke Parker may be returning this week. So you could potentially wait to see if there's an impact on Heaney's game once Parker returns. It could be complimentary, who the bloody hell knows, but and scary if that's the case. But I think, as we've seen in the past, the higher your average, obviously the more you have to the harder it is to maintain that high average. Like he's averaging 144.2 at the moment. And he's coming off, games of against Richmond, who, easy to score against, West Coast as well, paltry opposition. To their credit, they actually won against that mob in Richmond on the weekend. But I think there's a chance he's going to have a down game, and all he needs is a score closer to that 110 mark, and his score is going to halt, and it's going to drop down. It probably won't plummet, but it will drop down at some stage, and probably will stick around about this price, if not lower. We've seen it in previous years, like Bontempelli, for example. Like he's had the 73 game on the weekend, and no one ever would have thought that would happen. He's gone down at the moment, 60K, and last year as well, he was obviously by far and away the highest scorer last year. He actually went down despite averaging 132. Yeah, back to back games of 112. This is rounds 9 and 10, and from then on, he actually dropped 75K. So that's
It's
all he
not,
needs is a couple of, like, by his standards, if he scores 112, Heaney, that's going to be pretty shitty, but still high enough scores, and you'd be happy with it as an owner, which I would be. But if you're a non-owner, that's all you kind of have to bank on for him to drop in price and get him for a bit cheaper than what he is, because of the beauty of the 3-round price cycle.
exactly. So I'd be cautious, personally, but I do understand why people are trying to bring him in as well. Anyway, let's move on to the next guy, Damon. Who is it?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It is Rowan Marshall, and he's priced at
Oof.
606.4K with a break-even of 78. Has started the season well with an average of 115.8 thus far. He is currently the number two ranked ruckman, believe it or not, behind Gawn, with all but one score above 100, which was a 78 against the Dons, who traditionally limit opposition scoring. And with Sean Darcy potentially coming back, the old Hodador for Frio, he could be one to target, Marshall, if you've got Jackson in R2. Or alternatively, you could wait for English, who will be cheap as chips soon and potentially 30 to 40K cheaper than what Marshall is now. So we'll leave that in your hands for you to decide. But I think, as it stands at the moment, it might be a bit of a closer finish between Marshall and English for the coveted Ruck 2 position come
Yes,
into the
and I
season as to
think,
who is the higher average
yeah,
between them.
exactly. I think you're right there. Let's move on to the next category, and it is consider or wait. So these are guys, that, keeping your consideration set, but might be a reason to hold off this week and get them in next week or in the future weeks. So first up, we do have Bicky Nguyen, 123.9K. So one you could go early on in place of Charlie Conban, as we have chatted about. So he'll save you quite a bit more cash. He did look good playing in the back line as well for the Roos, managing a first up score of 89. Should he be able to hold his spot, you'd expect he could average around the 70 to 80 mark and make plenty of cash. That's the key reason we'd opt for him over a Conban. Biggie should make cash quicker, and that's more easily than the higher priced Conban. Dawson could create issues though for Biggie's job security, as he was just, a laid out with a or an out with a rolled ankle. But if he does continue to play like he did on the weekend, you'd think surely he's able to hold his role. So big watch on him. It's the reason I'd be cautious on going early on him is just because we're not sure on
Yeah.
his job security.
Exactly. Like he impressed in the preseason from memory as well during one of the scratch matches. I think it might have been against the Pies from memory. And I remember I was tuning into that stream and I caught him taking a very nice grab along sort of the wing. And I was like, shit, this guy's got a really nice leap and reminded me a fair bit of an Alia type, athletic defender. And we've seen as well Mac Andrew, all these guys. Incredible athletes, and yeah, it'd be good to see him get a fair go, a fair crack, because he's done a fair apprenticeship in the VFL as well as a former Richmond player. And yeah, it'd be good to see him continue, especially for us in Supercoach, because he would be a very nice cash cow. But yeah, might be a wait and see. It depends how how you like to if you like to live dangerously. Yeah, it's up to you. But next up, we have Sammy Walsh. He's priced at 576.8K. And my boy. So he was back. And boy, was he back in every sense of the world. He returned with a score of 166 after battling a recurrence of that back issue that he dealt with previously. Obviously, we aren't considering him as a bubble boy, but I'd still caution you to potentially wait a week as he won't rise in price until the end of round seven. So you can get another look at him before jumping on board. We know he's capable of being a top to 10 to 12 midfielder, and at just 576K could be another steal. But he can. But I guess the question is, can he elevate his game to push towards averaging as a top eight midfielder? Keep in mind, though, he does have a tough run coming up with games against the Giants, Geelong, Collingwood, Melbourne, and Sydney in his next five games. So yeah, could be one to jump on potentially as a bit of a pod as well if you want to go early. But even though he is my boy, I am awfully hesitant to do so.
He's the fourth most traded in player this round.
I would wait a week if you
I would
can.
wait at least a week. Or not even at least, sorry, I would wait a week. I understand jumping on him early, like I do see the logic, but I just don't think there's a need to jump on him so early.
Yeah, he's in 1% of teams at the moment. But just like, because I was there obviously at the game, and he was literally in the one of the best games I've seen in recent times. Reminded me so much of the quality that he was showing in the final series last year, where he was just everywhere. He was incredible. His mind is incredible. His footy IQ, but 34 disposals, two marks, 13 tackles. So for someone coming back from a back injury, didn't show it. Didn't show that he had any ill effects. So 13 tackles, I think that's probably from memory, one of his bigger games on the
Yeah,
tackle front.
surely. Yeah.
So yes, yeah, incredible. Contested work. So
The only other reason I'd caution trading him in this week, I feel like players often struggle their second game back. Like they have the adrenaline rush in the first game, kind of get through it, and then the second game is a little bit harder for them. To back it up.
Tough matchup as well against the Giants.
Also not an easy matchup. So I'd be mindful of that, I'd say, in trading him in. 8.1% of teams are trading him in this round. But yeah, I don't think there's an issue. I'd be quite happy waiting a week, which is what I'll be doing. I'll be getting him in next week.
Agreed.
Let's move on to the Bubble Boys. And we
You.
have Sam Closey, defender, 102.4K, break even of minus 174. Now, we spoke about him last week, and after a massive 124 to follow his debut score of 108, he has one of the largest, or lowest, I guess, break evens you will see in the game at an insanely low minus 174. He could potentially break the record for the largest price rise in 1 week, which was previously held by Goulden and Barlow before him. Get him in. I think he has to score. Good friend Emperor posted on
Empire.
Vision. Closey needs around 102.
Well, okay.
So we'd need his lowest
Just
score so
doable.
far.
Yeah, he's low. Yeah, it's actually very
Like it
true.
would
So I was
actually
just
be
reading his
his
tweet.
lowest. Yes. Anyway, so yeah, very possible. Get him in. If you don't already have him, if you didn't go early, get him in. Do it.
Exactly. On field as well. Incredible scoring. So yep, even more reason to get him in. Cash cow,
And don't
playing
even
cash
worry
cow.
about his break even because you're just going to be D1 by the end of this season.
Exactly right. He's tracking that
Who
way.
cares?
Yeah, get him in. Get him in. Good old Hills Hoist. He will hoist up your team. And next up, we have Will Graham, defender midfielder, priced at 117.3K with a break even. Not as juicy as the old Hills Hoist,
No.
but just juicy enough. Negative 91. He is the other must-have Suns young gun who followed up his 67 with a 91, confirming to us that he is a definite cash cow to prioritize. Most impressively, he absolutely loved a cuddle. Almost as much as Steele, laying 14 tackles.
Oofed.
Incredible. Looks to have the role that Flanders had, of course, as well, in back-to-back weeks with 49% CBAs and then 43% as well in his second game. So get him in. Defender, midfielder as well, provides a bit of flexibility, which is what is really going to help my team as well, because I'm actually going to be swinging Dacos into the midfield and playing all of D'Ambrosio, Williams, and the Hills Hoist, Closey, in defense. So works out well.
Moving on, we've got Max Ramsden, forward eligible, 123.9K, break even of minus 26. Second game wasn't as impressive as his first, with a score of just 21 after that 71 first up. Has played as the relief ruck and up forward with his job security a bit just shaky, I want to say. And after another Hawks loss, could be among those left out of the side, with Mitchell no doubt ready to swing the axe. So yeah, I'm not sold on him. I think we've got better options this round. And I'd probably even prefer going early on a biggie new one as opposed to a Max Ramsden at this stage.
Yep, exactly. Just we have to do our due diligence and mention those in the bubble. But yeah, he is not one to really look at all. But Liam, it is time now for the next segment. I'm going to whack on my old captain's hat because it is that segment, Liam.
It is.
It is. I'm the captain now. And of course, as we have done all season, we've shone the old bat signal, the old 69 symbol into the sky. It's been answered yet again by someone, one of our loyal viewers, listeners, who has sent in and recorded first and foremost, their own rendition of I'm the Captain Now, sent it into us to use as our bit of opener for the segment. So likewise, if you want to do the same, send it in. But this episode is going to be brought to you by Jack Saunders, courtesy of one of our regulars in our Discord, of course, and via our YouTube live chat. He's always there. All we can say is, take it away, Jackie boy.
Look at me.
I am the captain now.
So, I don't know how to react to this, Liam, but I will say that this gave me Gollum from Lord of the Rings vibes. If he were German.
Yeah,
if he were German.
I was about to say, it feels like, weren't the bad guys in Die Hard German?
Yes, yeah, I think
giving
they were.
Me
yes.
giving me that vibe.
Hans Gruber? Hans Gruber is the name of the villain? That sounds very good. But if you're tuning into us via the audio podcast, you're obviously missing out on the full.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
There's layers to this. It's like an onion, isn't it? There's multiple layers. There's the audio. And you're thinking, oh, so you're probably expecting him, you know, off the back of that, to be dressed in a lederhosen, carrying a Stein as a German. But no, Jack is sitting there creepily in his Port Adelaide hoodie, hood on and all, looking awfully sus, with like almost like, you know,
yeah.
Almost thumb-esque. With a bit of a, am I the captain now? I don't know. I can't even.
I loved it. I'm here for it. 100%.
Absolutely. 100%. And it was
up there.
It's like he turned the lights off as well. He gone next level. And it's like, again, layers to it. Check it out. If you're listening to us via the audio podcast, venture across.
They will
to
be studying
YouTube.
That for years to come. One of the great performances, I have to say.
Yeah. Well, he's up there. He's on the leaderboard. Of course, we'll be going through and ranking every single one of these as well. So
like everyone's been on the leaderboard.
Well, we've only had about three or four thus far, so probably easy to do. But they're not on the podium as yet. We will reserve that later in the season.
Yes.
But he's up there. But that was unique. And that's what we want, Liam. We want uniqueness. We want personality.
Yeah, I
want
to see different types.
Different types. And with the video as well, adds another layer to it. So get to it. If you are keen to join in on the fun and frivolity, send yours in via Discord. It's probably the easiest way to do so because literally there's a little button there allows me to download it, as opposed to if it's through Twitter or Instagram and all that sort of stuff, I actually have to find a way to rip it, which isn't all that easy. So get to it if you are keen, and we will feature you on our upcoming episodes.
Yes. Now, anyway, on to I'm the Captain Now. And here we chat about the VC and C options that you've got and we've got, everyone's got, for the upcoming round of Supercoach. So as always, we look through the data, we sift through, we sit there in our spreadsheets, and we find the top options for you to consider. First up, we've got Jack Steele. They do play first Thursday night. Love a Thursday night VC. He's got an average of 106.9 in all of his games against the Dogs. And he's coming in hot runner form with his last three scores or captaincy worthy or 126 plus. And he had a 143 on the weekend. But he will be up against what we expect, surely, to be in a rampaging Dogs midfield, though it will be liberless. So could this benefit the man of steel? Ooh, yes. I don't mind him as a nice cheeky VC option.
Yep, exactly right. However, there is someone else in this game.
Who is
on
it?
On the other side. It is Labonte. Is Labonte El Capitano? Well, wait until you hear this. Averaging 106.8 against the Saints. Yeah, it is what it is. But his last three scores against them read as follows. 125, 181, and a 159.
Oof.
Just juice that is just oozing, overflowing, Liam.
Almost has been up and down.
It's funny you mentioned that. As I mentioned, that has been up and down. But the pig juice, it is overflowing. Different sense of the word because he's just picking it up more than anything else. Off field, he's old Clary Oliver. But the Bond, he has been up and down with his scoring this year. But surely the gun can bounce back to form when the Dogs need him most. When Bevo needs him most. So I almost don't want Bond to respond. No, but we
maybe
need Bond. To.
Maybe Bond's over Bevo. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe he's lost the players.
Oh, lost the players. Big words. That's media talk right
first.
There.
Yep. First.
Tom Brown, $2.
I do. Sorry, just while we're talking about Tom Brown, I do love the fact that there's that fake account that just everyone gets sucked in by. And I swear the same people I see retweeting it after having been told that it's like a fake account.
Yeah, it's fake.
Still, just every time they say, like, oh my God, he said that Bevo's been sacked. And I'm like, dude, seriously.
I saw this account supporter.
Third time.
He's like one of the big accounts and was just replying with a quote retweet of, ha 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 ha. I'm like, oh God, mate. And you just know when you click into the replies, it's going to be everyone being like, mate, you're the dick because you've fallen the hook, line, and sinker for a troll account. But even better, I think the one thing that makes me laugh 100% more is the fact that Tom Brown, he's been out of the journalism game for nearly a full year. He is no longer a journalist. He quit Channel 7 and is now working for some media company as a video content producer, believe it or not. So he's not even in the game. So people are still falling for it. They still think that he is there.
I mean, it's pretty convincing. It's pretty
convincing. It is, actually.
I have to admit, there's been a few times where I've seen it and then had to, you know, do a quick check.
Yeah, a little cross check. The fact that gets you is he turns off his replies, which was such a big T-Dollar Brown thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're like, that's legit. He's back. Oh, wait, no, it's not him.
But I love that when you just click on, like you click on the account and the whatever you call it, the little description is like, the little bio is just like, not Tom Brown.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't even like pretend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Classic.
Moving on, Mick Dacos. Yes. He's got an average of 108.3 against the Power, scoring 149 against the Power in his second last game that they played against each other, which was in round two last season. His last score did come after he was returning from injury with a score of 99. Hasn't been in the greatest form, but could this be a week for a bounce back? Is it on the cards? Or will he be given the Willem Drew tag? Willem Drew, the number one champion data.
Oh, the number one champion
data. I don't know. Is he even number one anymore?
No, probably I think he was up
surely.
There. Got him. Oh, he's probably now. He's got to be right up there again, according to champion data.
Tom Green's clearly fallen away.
Yeah, so that's true.
So is Bond.
Yeah, well, maybe we're taking the piss out of him prematurely.
Let's be
because
real.
Both of those guys weren't really
the
up
number
there.
One player.
We'll be kidding. He's got to be right up there. Number one, 100% off the back of two games. Next up, we have Tom Green. So he is averaging a 91.3 against the Baggers, but his last score was a big 145 last year. Hasn't been posting captaincy level scores in his last two matches, so could be a bit of a pod. But as you know, with his starting, I guess, form to the season, it was scintillating. So if you can recapture that, he's going to be very, very captaincy worthy.
Yes. Next up, we have She's Nuts. Harry Sheezel averaging 111.5 against the Hawks. Absolutely seagulled it on the weekend, posting a 159, even getting up further into the, up the ground, some inside 50s, some, you know, goal. Love it. Has been consistent with his scoring this season as well, with four of his five scores being captaincy worthy. But McGuinness, does the McGuinness tag loom for Harry Sheezel?
Very good point. Very good point.
It's a risk. I mean,
especially considering that McGuinness has played a bit more up forward as well. So it's, he doesn't have to change anything really.
No.
Plays on Sheezel, just plays a bit of, more of a lockdown defensive forward role. Scary. Scary. So I don't know if I'm willing enough to do it. I feel like I live dangerously, but outside of him, we do have the running man. Toot toot. The Took Train, Miller, stopping no stations. He's express to top eight territory, but he's averaging 99.3 against the Swans and has only gone 125 plus against them twice in his 12 outings. A 146 and a 148 back in 2021. Also has only posted two captaincy-worthy scores this year, but he's working his way into form off the back of a 133 on the weekend. The running man, he is always up there in calculations, so he's someone to consider.
Yep, love it. Next up, final option we've got for this week, it is Isaac Heaney, averaging just 92.3 against the Suns, but does come in with a three-round average of 147, so could be in for a big one. If you have him, I like it. That's your C option.
Don't mind it. Don't mind it. But he plays, what is it, the second last game, I think it is, potentially of the round?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, second last. So you'd have to put the C on him unless you're going to go a VC Heaney into a C Sheezel. Jesus, both of those might be a bit of a death ride.
Do it.
Yep, do it. The pod moves if you want to go down that route. But Liam, on to our head-to-head. How did we shape up?
Yes, Damon, in our head-to-head last week, you opted for Le Bont while I went for the Big English Breakfast. What a shit show. Shit show of a matchup, with Bont only slightly eclipsing Tim English, 73-58. So, Damon, you did get the win. You're sitting three wins to my one, with a point differential of 81 in your favor. So pretty tight still, pretty tight.
Very, very tight. But probably one of the poorer matchups that we've had in recent memory.
Yes.
I liken it to a couple of oldies on Zimmer frames having a race at the local nursing home. Like, just, I mean, you want to be there. It's a spectacle. You want to see it. But probably not something that is going to be, too competitive. But anyway, I have the first choice this week. And, it's a doozy. It's an absolute doozy, Liam. I don't know. Actually, no. I can't go for this man because I can't go for Bont again. I can't go back-to-back Bonts.
Ooh.
Them's the rules. So I am going to go a Jack Steele, the man in form.
Damn.
Damn it, you.
I'm going to go for the man who has lost faith in his coach. You heard it here first. Le Bont.
Yes, Le Bont is El Capitano.
Le Bont is El Capitano because he has lost faith, as you heard here first.
Well, exactly right.
I want to be quoted. I want to be quoted.
When it happens, when it happens, when he gets the sack, and then Bont comes out and says, "Yeah, he's just lost. He'd lost us, Liam." What you've just said, those words, this little grab is going to be featured on Footy Classified. Well, actually, there we go. No. So
I've got higher aspirations. I want to be on Footy Fairness.
Oh, I thought you were going to say talking footy. I don't know which is worse.
I want what's his face? I want Cochin to be standing Cochin in front of a green screen,
floating around, and his arms cut off. Oh, ridiculous! Like terrible green screen type stuff. He might as well have been wearing a green shirt and just like keyed out him with the background being a floating head. Yeah, incredible production value there. But Liam, It is time to jump into ever so quickly, because we've got a little bit of time to answer a couple of questions in Say It With Me, Liam.
That's to know.
Hey, I got to know.
Very good. Well, there we go. Nah, I was trying to time it. We've got a little bit rusty. We've got time.
We are a bit rusty.
Yes, but we're not too rusty to answer some questions. And first up, we have from Kotzi at Kotzi6. He asks, looking at a rail or steal this week, would you favour rail's fixture, but it does mean that he can't buy flip him in? Or steal, as he has the round 15 buy. So he's looking ahead to the traditional buys. So steal, he does have the round 15 buy and can't flip to him later, but can flip to rail after his buy. Jesus, he's gone way ahead. So good to see that he's actually factoring in now. But I think at this stage of the game, go for who you think is the most value. I mean, they're probably at an equivalent price point, aren't they? Like Steele's 624, Rail is 625. So pretty much like
pretty much the same.
Steele's averaging a 130. Rail is averaging a 131. Okay, so it's probably a good thing to factor in the buys if you wanted to do that. But I think off the back of that, because it's so hard again to answer this without knowing his team structure and how many guys that he has missing the buy for both of their teams. I mean, Gold Coast obviously has the favorable buy because they've only got the buy with Port. Yeah. So he's going to be more available across the rest of those rounds, the buy rounds.
So Gold Coast also, I haven't looked at St. Kilda, but Gold Coast face West Coast twice. Mm. They face North twice. They face, like, this is for the rest of the season, Essendon twice. So, you know, they give up decent points to opposition mids at this stage. Mm. Could be a big score. Like, could be good for Rao in that sense. I don't look no steel off the top of my head, though. All right, so he faces Western Bulldogs, Port, North, Hawthorn, Fremantle. Yeah, okay.
So the teams that have the bye, that share the bye with St Kilda, are Adelaide, Collingwood, Hawthorn, Richmond, and the Bulldogs. So just off the top of my head, I mean, obviously Nick Dacos will miss.
Bont.
Bont, English, Marshall, Steele, Wanganeen Millera. So
I would probably get Rowell in first.
Yep.
So if you get Rowell in first, I'm just looking at his run. He has, I mean, Sydney next up, but then he faces West Coast, North, and Essendon before his bye.
Okay.
Like, faces Brisbane, could go either way. Sydney, again, could go either way. Like, he has decent scores against them. Geelong, yeah, could score well. Carlton, he could score well. Like, yeah, I think he's got a decent enough run.
Yep.
I think Steele has a tougher run until his bye. I would probably get him in after the bye.
It does look as though that both of these guys are going to be top eight mids anyway. So, yeah. I mean, either or, it really just comes down to his individual bye structure, Kotze, that is, his team. So, again, it's probably hard for us to definitively name one or the other because it comes down to who's going to impact you more based upon the byes that they have and which equivalent players you have that are going to be missing in their byes as well.
Yeah.
But all the best with that, and thanks for the question, Kotze. Let's move on to the next question. It is from the Bishop at Bishop's Balls. Interesting. It says, I'm playing my own way this year and having fun, which is always good, especially in light of the weekend. But he asks, what do you think about Lachie Ash? He had a great game on the weekend. Does Taylor going down free him up at all? Cheers, fellas. So just quickly with Lachie Ash, I've got up his numbers here. Scored 131 in round zero, then had a 47 in round one against North, a bit of a down game. And then he actually, I think, got injured in round two against West Coast, only posted a score of 21, saw his score drop by 75K, and then came out and scored 84 against Gold Coast in his return game in round four. Round five, then posted a 122. So he is priced at a juicy price point of 394.7. But even so, I think if anything, with Sam Taylor going down, it probably means that Lachie Ash is going to be restricted, I think, more than anything, as opposed to freed up. So I'd be a little bit worried about that. But historically anyway, Ash is only, like, last year averaged 83.8 in 23 games. only posted tons in 1, 2, 3, 4 games of those 23 rounds. So I don't really think he's going to be a keeper. And at that price point, it's an awkward price point. You're not really going to be gaining anything. He's not going to make you really too much cash, I don't think. I'd kind of just cut your losses there and look elsewhere. I mean, if you're going to go down that route, go for Charlie Combin. He's obviously 223 or whatever it was, will make you a bit more cash and probably punch out equivalent scores, if that, at his peak. So, yeah, that's kind of my idea on that. Liam, any difference?
Just having a look at his matchups. Yeah, it's not looking like there's all that much positive correlation.
No.
None of those teams in his next three really give away points to sort of attacking defenders, I guess.
Mm.
If that's what you'd call Ash, I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of would be. Like, but even then, I don't think he's ever been a relevant super coacher. Maybe in draft, but I think, you know, I imagine he's asking the question about Classic. And historically, he's only averaged in his 5 seasons to date, 59.7, 76.6, 60.9, 84.6, which was his highest last year. So he's not in the realms of someone that you want to pick up, and he's not on the cusp of a breakout. So, yeah, I'd kind of look elsewhere.
But if you're playing your own way and you're having fun,
yeah.
I don't hate it. Like, I think it's one of those ones, like, if you're willing to take the risk, take the risk. Like, if that's how you want to play, I think he could be a decent enough scorer. But yeah, got to factor in that he scored 47 and 84. Yep. Like, it's not going to be the 131s and 122s every week.
Yeah. Spot on. Well, Liam, that is pretty much that segment.
Yeah, that is. And Damon, some exciting news. Mm. I don't know if it's exciting, actually. Some sad news. We got through a whole episode, finally, without mentioning the glorious Ding Ding 69. First episode. We can write it down. One episode without an incident.
Well, before you change that chalkboard, before you scrub out and put, you know, days from last incident or last incident of nonsense, we've actually had our resident's tweeter, Tiki_knee. This is the man who enlightened us to the Maximilian name being a Bond villain a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. And he's done us a solid yet again, Liam. So he sent us a classic image. So for those people tuning into YouTube, you can see this. Obviously, I'll pop it up on screen. But we'll talk through it for those people tuning in via the audio podcast. He sent a classic image from the Eagles-Richmond game that he captured with both Yo and Reed standing next to each other, with Yo's number 6 pairing nicely alongside Reed's 9.
No.
But next level, Liam, and he didn't mention this, and it was only cropped in the sort of the corner of the image. And my keen eye for the old Ding Ding 69 noticed this, because if you look at the score, the Eagles had scored, you guessed it, 69 to that point in time. Ding ding, Liam. Ding ding. That is in every sense a ding ding with a double serving of 69.
No.
Which, if you think about it, it's becoming a little bit of an orgy with multiple in the one go. So this could be our greatest ding ding of all time.
Yeah, it is. Rubbing off our zip one. Rubbing off the one that I literally just put there to put 0 back.
Yeah. So Tiki Knee, come through with the goods. And we won't even open it up as well, because if there is something you've seen across the course of the round that, you know, obviously indicates 69, and I love the creativity with this, it is literally the super coach guys, I think it's the footy guys, in on the gag as well, because to line up, it could have been Reed, the left-hand side of screen, number 9, alongside Yo. It wouldn't have counted. But the fact that they were just in perfect combination, perfect symmetry, Liam, that is 69. And the score 69, that numerology, it's next level. I think we've hit our peak.
Heat, pack it up. We're going home, boys.
Very good. Well, thank you for that, Tiki Knee. And as we said, if anyone notices anything across the rounds to come where you can see a 69, and the more creative, the better, send it through. And that way we'll feature you in the episode. But Liam, what a way to end it. That brings us to the end of the show. But before we go, where can our listeners find us across our socials, where they can hit us up if they happen to see any ding-dings?
Yes, on YouTube, search Supercoach Edge. So you do get the full visual and audio experience of I'm the captain now of the old double serving of 69.
You, especially the double serving.
I feel like that's not appropriate for a YouTube channel, but anyway.
We're not going to be
And
demonetized,
don't
don't
forget
worry.
to like and subscribe.
They love it. In
Turn
fact, they give
into
us a
our own channel
promotion.
audience. Get it
Yeah,
some support
exactly.
fans. On Twitter at Supercoach underscore Edge, Damon at DamoJ88, myself at Liam Evans underscore 95, Facebook and Insta search Supercoach Edge, and you will find us there.
Very good. Well, that rounds us out for round five. Best of luck, of course, for the upcoming round six. As we say, may your trades hit the mark and your scores head to the moon. Catch you next week.
See you guys.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itsines.
Kayla Itsines.
I'm Kayla Itsines, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.